AirMets and SIGMETS, why they belong on your kneeboard. I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. We're back with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the Journal for the Proficient Pilot, which is published online. Bob also operates a flight training operation in the Buffalo, New York area based at the Lancaster Buffalo Airport. Bob, thanks very much for being here.
As always, Paul, it's my pleasure.
In the February edition of Over the Airwaves, you have an article entitled Those Pesky AirMets and SIGMETS. And I guess I have to start by backing up and saying, is a lack of familiarity with these weather products a contributing factor in our safety record?
No question. No question on my mind. In fact, if we all flew with current AirMet and SIGMET information on our kneeboards, I believe the accident rate would tumble. These are as every primary student knows, they're messages that are sent to pilots concerning adverse weather, whether it be IFR conditions, that'd be an AirMet Zulu or turbulence AirMet Tango, or IFR conditions AirMet Sierra. If we paid attention before every flight to wherever there is a published or issued AirMet, and remain clear of those areas, unless we are instrument rated in capable airplanes, our safety record would improve dramatically. And part of the problem is, you know, some of the old time reports and reports we get off of some of the DUATS information, they outline these AirMets and SIGMETS by references to VORs and so many miles east, northeast of a VOR here. And after a while, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, particularly if we're traveling outside our home airport.
Mm-hmm.
But now with weather information being graphically depicted on the web, we can glance at an AirMet and see exactly what the geographic boundaries are, reference our route of flight, and we can easily remain well clear of them. Certain AirMets have greater significance to certain pilots and aircraft depending upon their operational concerns. Instrument-rated pilots are not terribly concerned about AirMet Sierra for widespread low ceilings. I mean, we're equipped to handle that. We all should be vitally aware of AirMet Zulus for icing unless we're flying in a very capable aircraft certified for flight in known ice.
Mm-hmm.
Tango can give us a bumpy ride, get moderate turbulence, but usually they're endurable. But if we have a SIGMET for convective turbulence or a convective SIGMET, that could signal something far worse, particularly in the summertime, and that's something, of course, we all need to pay attention to.
Well, now, you talk about the way that we receive this information. I know that AirMets and SIGMETS are both heavily coded in the form that we learned them in our, you know, primary flight training in ground school. You learn to decode and learn what the various abbreviations mean. Does that date back to a time when bandwidth was much more expensive and hard to come by, where in order to get something over a 5-bit teletype machine, they had to very much compress the data? Or is it so you can fit it on your kneeboard? Is there still a role for these heavily coded AirMets and SIGMETS in our current world?
It's a shame the way that we've kind of hold on to the past with this heavily coded information. It isn't nearly as realistic as looking at it graphically. And back in the days of the teletype, we could not display this graphically. Today we can, but we still, for example, the model that I use, it said something about from Seattle to Portland to Eugene to Cajun, and then they give you, you know, headings and fixes off of various airways, or excuse me, VORs. Many of us today are, frankly, not using VORs to any great extent like we used to. We're flying GPS direct. So when they start talking about OKC to DFW to SAT to MAF to CDS, you know, we don't know where these places are. And to attempt to decipher that, you know, just digitally is almost to the point we choose to ignore it. But again, we can go on the National Weather Service, any number of sites, and we can see these displayed graphically, and it's much easier to deal with. This is not the final piece of information that we have. We have icing AirMets, for example, that now we have newer technology that can break down the icing AirMets to specific altitudes and risks of icing, not yes or no, but here's where you're likely to find light icing, and here's where you're likely to find moderate to heavy icing. So this technology is really exploding just in front of us as we study what we're doing, and it's another reason why we all need to be engaged in recurrent training just to see what these new tools are like.
Now, I have very little time behind any glass panels in aircraft, Bob. I have to ask you, is graphic representation of AirMets and SIGMETS available on a glass panel in a fashion that's updated while you're in flight?
No. No, on the glass panel, no. Even on the G1000, we have weather information, I think, but in terms of seeing it, well, we can actually see it almost graphically because we can get colored dots, and symbols showing areas of IFR, VFR. We won't get lines that will banded in like we'll see on a computer screen. But I need to, refocus. If we have the upscale weather version, there's weather light, and then there's the full professional view, depending on the cost of the software you want to invest in the subscription services.
Mm-hmm.
We can see areas of widespread IFR on the G1000 MFD.
You know, one of the things I always thought was a bad idea about the heavily coated AirMets was they are going to be much more intuitive to someone who flies instrument frequently. But for the weekend VFR pilot, there's a lot of information that they'll just glass over on because, you know, they're going to have to go to a sectional chart and do some searching to even find out where one of those five-letter fix identifiers is.
Yeah, that's a problem.
I welcome the era that we've entered where you're going to call it up on a computer screen and actually see it depicted somewhere. In fact, TFRs were the same problem when they first started a few years ago.
Absolutely. Now you can see TFRs, of course, they're graphically depicted as well. Now, something that we should always exercise caution is we do not want to let this new information embolden us to go into areas where heretofore we may not. We may see, for example, a narrow bit of space between two bands of AirMets graphically depicted and think that we can go slither up between them, because they're so nicely graphically displayed. That kind of emboldenedness can get us into the same kind of trouble as trying to use a NEXRAD image of thunderstorms and rain cells and attempt to negotiate or navigate through a line based upon what we see on a NEXRAD image. We have to use this stuff cautiously and more to the point of where we cannot go, rather than giving us license to go into places that appear to be, you know, not demarked on a moving map.
I think a lot of the information we get nowadays in the computer era is carried out to 8 decimal places when the underlying process that produced the information is only a 50-50 chance.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to be careful of not confusing the resolution of the display with the accuracy of the information behind it.
Point well taken.
Bob, when we come back from this break, I want to talk to you a little bit about the Bob Miller Flight Training School model and a conversation that was prompted between you and another flight school operator that I think a lot of our listeners will find interesting. Bob Miller is my guest. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Waas GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près de moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Waas, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Waas GPS. Follow the leader.
Chérie.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot. And Bob, you, in operation of your flight school in Buffalo, had that nightmare thing, I think, that faces anybody operating a flight school operation happened to you, and it happened on a holiday to boot. Explain briefly to our listeners what took place here.
Well, this is what I'm about to describe is every flight instructor's worst nightmare, and that is a student solo gone wrong. And fortunately, in our instance, there were no injuries other than to personal egos. But we had a student confuse his controls between using aileron and rudder to correct a steering error on a snow-covered runway, which caused the airplane to depart into the snow. And because the snow was about 14 inches thick in the momentum of the airplane, it just kind of rolled over, again, with no injuries. But it was a situation that caused us the loss of an airplane until we could get it replaced. And as I say this, you know, this was not very comforting to us as a flight school that prides itself in, you know, providing proficient training. But it is one of these things that occasionally does happen. Nobody was really at fault other than the student becoming just a little bit disoriented in this particular example. But that is, as I said, every instructor's worst nightmare. But it caused us to have to go scrambling for another airplane. And we found a flight school over in Michigan that was willing to lease us a new Cessna 172 G1000 equipped, just like our other airplanes. And when he brought it over, we had an opportunity to chat for several hours about the differences between their flight school and the difficulties that they were having competing in a tough economy and very harsh weather, while at the same time we seemed to be, you know, kind of moving through it in a positive fashion to the point that we were out recruiting airplanes and instructors to keep up with the demand. So some of the points that we talked about made for some interesting discussion.
Well, now, first of all, let's talk about why we know why you needed the plane. Let's talk about why some flight schools have excess planes on their flight line.
Well, why they have excess planes is because their supply or their service supply is greater than their demand. And why that happens is for reasons that we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks. You know, why is it that we seem to be developing a waiting list of students and are keeping our instructors and airplanes very busy, and in other flight schools using traditional flight training models seem to be falling victim to many the same thing that many traditional businesses throughout the United States are suffering in this economy that we're going in. I remember when I was in graduate school, an MBA program, the one thing that I remember coming out of a marketing course that I took was the phrase, and I don't know who made it up, but it was certainly applicable here. The phrase is innovate or die.
Mm-hmm.
And we as a flight training institution or school, we've been forced to innovate. We have to do things differently. To the extent that we do things differently, spending money on areas that other people choose not to spend money on, you know, elevating our pricing structure to give us the additional margin that we need to do some of the things that we need to do to attract more students. These are things that are foreign, I think, to individuals who have been trained in the traditional model. The days are gone when people come out to the airport and, you know, take a quick discovery ride for $45 and can find a $30 an hour instructor and rent a $69 an hour airplane. Those days are gone. I mean, we can't do it. And schools that try to do it simply can't remain in business. They can't.
Well, you know, I've noticed something about businesses, and I've had limited formal education in business, but I've noticed that most businesses seem to either be in an upward spiral or a downward spiral. It's very hard to pick a point and hold still. And
yeah.
So given that choice, I know which one I would want to be in.
You have to. I was fortunate to come into the flight training arena with a strong business background, both from an experience basis and through some formal education. Lots of other schools have been formed by guys and girls that like to fly. They're flight instructors, and they say, why can't we just start a school, teach people how to fly and make money at the same time? Well, I think I apply more business skills to our flying school here than I do flying skills.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I'm doing right now, contrary to what most schools do, is the first student that comes through the door in many schools is taken by the chief flight instructor. And then he or she gets her schedule filled. Then when they need more instructional capacity, they sort of go, the stuff flows downhill.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I take the last student that walks through the door. I try to have each student that walks through the door give them to our instructor or instructors and keep them full and busy, allowing me time to go out and do the kind of marketing, footwork, research, those kind of tireless efforts that are designed to change the way we do things, change the model, meet with individuals who are people in the community who can in turn refer students to us, that kind of thing.
Well, Bob, whatever you're doing, it seems to be keeping you full. Did this guy who brought the plane out, ferried the plane out to you, leave with a different perspective?
I think he did. And one of the problems, I'm a solo owner of our flight school. I don't have a partner that I have to deal with or to convince. This can be sometimes a problem where you have partnerships in business where one partner is innovative and wants to try things and the other partner, you know, is more cost conscious and drags their feet. That's something that I've enjoyed throughout my years in business. You know, I only take partners in marriage and it took me twice to get that right. So I don't do partners in business. I sink or swim on my own skills and abilities, but I think he did. I think he learned that, image and pricing, go hand in hand. The higher the quality, the greater the price. Or conversely, the higher the price, the greater the perceived quality. And, we're not in business here to make, flying affordable to every man, woman, and child in the United States. We can't do it. Just the same as a BMW or a Mercedes dealer doesn't try to market his cars to individuals who don't have the means. Now, I don't want to sound elitist, and I don't want to sound like we're just attracting the upper echelon. We'd like to make flying affordable, but if they can pay the price, then we're here to give them the best quality training experience that they possibly can have.
Well, Bob, we wish you continued success with that model, and it'll be fun to watch and see how Bob Miller Flight Training fares through this recession, however long it lasts. And I know, who knows, maybe some other people will be watching as well, but good luck to you and continued success.
Thanks so much, Paul.
You can read the current edition of Over the Airwaves and find out more about Bob Miller Flight Training Incorporated at www.overtheairwaves.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.